ace he was waiting for. And then, amidst cries of "Here he is," the superintendent of police, Michael H. Crowley, cleared a path for the watch and ward secretary. He was accompanied by Captain George W. Peterson, chief of Boston's vice squad, and a young plainclothes officer named Oliver Garrett, later to become a notorious character in Boston. "Are you Chase?" demanded Mencken. "I am," replied a solidly built man with glasses and a walrus mustache. "And do you want to buy a copy of the Mercury?" "I do," came the reply. Chase offered Mencken a silver $0.50, and in a theatrical moment that delighted the throng, the editor took the coin and bit the end of it to make sure that it was genuine. Then he handed over a copy of the magazine. "Officer, arrest that man," commanded Chase, addressing Captain Peterson. The Boston police and the watch and ward had had their differences over the years. Sometimes the vice organization's agents had acted as if they were the Boston police, but this time the police were more than happy to do the watch and ward's bidding. Garrett, the plainclothes officer, tapped Mencken on the arm. Mencken still had three copies of the Mercury in his hand. "Throw them away," his lawyer counseled. Mencken tossed the magazines into the air. There was a scramble, and in the rush to get a copy, the crowd ripped the magazines to pieces. Chase handed his over to Peterson. Then Mencken, hat low on his head and trademark cigar in hand,